Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Found out yesterday, you texted Jeff Conrad.
And, yes.
And got Kelvin Sampson
Kelvin
to come
Sampson
up.
Will join us at 9:30 tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Really excited about having Coach on.
Coach on. He was on.
He's Coach been on Kelvin Sampson, University of Houston.
Coach Kelvin Sampson. So apparently at the press conference the other day after they won, Coach Sampson, I'm looking everywhere and I just can't find the sound. And I apologize, everybody. But I'll read it to you. Here's what Coach Sampson said. Just proud of our team. Our kids are tough kids. This is a tough program. That's how we've achieved to this point. When asked about Tajay Moore, he said this. Sampson described how he needed a lot of work when he first stepped foot onto campus. He said, you talk about a fart in a skillet. Lord help. Tajay Moore, he described as, now I've been looking it up in exact, what do you think fart in a skillet means?
Like fart in a bottle?
I mean, it's like monkey.
I say fart in a bottle because.
Bleep in a football. Have you heard that? You've heard that expression.
No. I've heard bees in a bonnet.
Oh, bees in a bonnet. Well, yeah,
I've heard
bees
burr
in a bonnet
in a saddle.
Crazy. Yeah, apparently.
Burr in a saddle. I guess everything came from the old
crazy
Western
days. Crazy as a road lizard, I heard yesterday.
Never heard that one.
Yeah, me either.
Cold as a witch's.
Well, yeah, but
that's out
that
there.
Describes something that's cold. Yeah. You understand that one.
Yeah.
Not really, because I never. Why is a witch's so cold? I don't know. But talk about a fart in a skillet. That for whatever reason, that is the.
Have you found anything about that?
Yeah, it is. Apparently,
that's a saying.
Back in the old days, the wagon train days, they used to.
Thank you. Everything comes from wagon train days.
Right. Apparently.
Bees in a bonnet. When's the last time people wore bonnet other than like Juniper Creek or something on Big Love or. I mean, or I guess Handmaid's Tale.
So there are a lot of different ways. Shut up, old man. You sound like a fart in a skillet if you're a ornery, right?
Ornery. When was ornery invented? Old wagon trail days. Who says ornery anymore?
Yeah.
Your grandma did.
You bounce. If you're bouncing around a lot, it's like you're bouncing around like you're a fart in a skillet.
That's what that means?
Yeah. Yeah.
Swear I'd. Maybe he was hyper.
I can't, it could mean you don't hyper? Understand a lot of stuff or something for some reason.
I know it's not good to be called a fart in a skillet.
So you're no better than a fart in a frying pan or a fart in a skillet. And so I don't know why, but Kelvin Sampson described Tajay Moore is what a story. He is a transfer from Cal State Bakersfield. He had 5 knee operations.
He's got over 100. Knee and leg operations. They say he's got over 100 screws.
Yeah.
In his leg.
Did you read the athletic report on him yesterday?
No. I was listening. They talked about it on the broadcast. Like 100 screws. How's this guy playing basketball?
I know a rod in his leg.
They say he has a bionic leg.
They said rod, and he has some more metal in his knee. I mean, it's unbelievable, and he's the best. His old coach Rod Barnes said, "Oh, he'll be the best athlete on your team." And
with a bionic knee, meaning his knee has been jacked up so badly. He's had so many surgeries.
He had to go for the fifth one, and he said, "This is it. If this one doesn't take, I'm done with basketball."
How is he going to be your best athlete when he's gone through that?
I know, and he still is what he is. I don't know. I think he can probably keep on playing basketball. I don't know that he's going to play it. But he came from Cal State. He was at Cal State Bakersfield for, I think, 4 years. He's a grad. He is a grad transfer. So this is it for him. I don't know if you get another year because of COVID. I'm not sure if you get a sixth year. I don't know. But Tajay Moore has been, if it wasn't for Tajay Moore and them picking him up with the losses of Sasser and Mark, the Cougs wouldn't be where they are today. And he was a fart in a skillet when he first got here. He was basically a fart in a skillet.
Well, Tajay Moore is the one who said that he credits Kelvin Sampson for literally altering his entire life, like career and life, that he's, you know, there's so many young people in general who need to find their space. And when you have a coach, and a coach can, that's one of the special things about coaches. It's not all coaches. It's not all situations. But we all know stories about coaches who have been special to different people. Kevin Mawai had my dad come to his Hall of Fame and mentioned him in his Hall of Fame speech. There have been different coaches. There have been different coaches who have had huge impact on players' life. My brother has had impacts like that. I've had teachers who I credit with a lot of things. You may have had a coach at some point that you, maybe not. It's not for everybody. But I think coaches have an opportunity to have great impacts, but it obviously has very little to do with X's and O's. It has to do with either they get you to mature or see things different or be tougher, or, you know, they alter your mentality or they help you grow up or whatever the case may be. And for Tajay Moore, it was about growing up and getting focus and buying in. And I think what Kelvin Sampson does, which makes me so excited, is he gets guys – in a generation where it's now all about NIL and me and what is best for me? What do I want? And I'm leaving. Things are too tough, or I'm facing adversity. I'm out of here. He gets guys, not only does he coach hard, John. Yeah. Kelvin Sampson coaches hard. These guys take the coaching. They play hard for him, but they play hard for each other. And the team basketball, it's the reason they've been able to get this far, because they're not relying upon one or two guys. They're relying upon each other, and they step up. And Tajay Moore is a great example of this. And this is now going on 3 years where guys who have transferred in and bought in, because they didn't get it didn't happen at the last place they came from. Guys transfer into Houston, they buy in, and they become part of a family that
teaches them life lessons as well.
Yeah, it's a strict family. It asks for accountability, but once you get that discipline, you're like, you hear about guys who go to the military all the time. My dad said it happened with him. He went to the Marines, and like, it changed his life because he got discipline that he didn't have previously.
I was going to do that too.
I think Kelvin Sampson is somebody who helps guys find discipline, and it's going to benefit them later in their life as well.
Absolutely.
It's so much fun, but I guess they did have one guy drafted, KJ reminded me, in the first round, but Kelvin Sampson has been doing this with, now, they're certainly good athletes and good basketball players, but none of those guys stand out as individual talents.
No. Yeah, they had, the Kansas transfer got drafted in the first round, but that was listen, that he found Tajay Moore from Cal State Bakersfield and took him on, and he was bouncing around, I guess, like a fart in a skillet at first, when he first got here. And even Tajay said, even as a grad transfer coming to Houston, I would have been happy just playing 10 minutes a game. Well, when everybody went down, all of a sudden, Tajay Moore is a huge part of the team now, and he has just been—he has stepped up and been so good. I don't care what happens. I don't know how disappointed Coug fans are going to be if they lose to Arizona. Obviously, you want to see your team win, but this story of this team and how they have overcome, and the leadership that Kelvin Sampson has shown and gotten these guys to perform under these circumstances with these injuries, there's a lot of teams would have folded tent a long time ago with these injuries. And these guys just play harder and harder and harder. And listen, it's a testament to how deep they were, but you lose two of the main guys that you thought, you're not deep anymore. Their bench is really, really thin. So these guys are playing 30 minutes. They're over 30 minutes in a lot of cases. The starting five are playing all of these minutes and playing at the end of the game as hard as they were playing, or harder than they were playing at the beginning.
Yeah, that's why against Houston, at some point you're going to have a 6-minute spell where it's a nightmare for you to score and you can't score.
Yeah.
That's why if Houston hits threes,
that's exactly what happens.
If Houston hits threes, you're probably not going to beat them because they're going to beat you on the boards. They're going to get second chance shots because they bang four on the boards almost every time, minimum four. And if they're hitting threes at any kind of a clip, you're probably not going to beat Houston because they are going to turn you over. They are going to out rebound you, and they're going to cause you to go through a stretch of basketball where you really struggle to score. And it's like it's fun to watch because it's an old school mentality where they just want to impose their will. There's something fun about one team or either a single player in football or a single team or a unit who can impose their will where they say, we're going to make you do something that you don't want to do, or we're going to do something to you that you don't like, which is not allow you to even get a look at a basket. We're going to force you into a shot clock violation. And off, you know, for offensive linemen, it's pushing a man from one point to the, from point A to point B against his will. When you can do that, when you impose your will on another team,
yeah. Yep.
It has an impact on them psychologically where they're like, oh my God. And it has an impact on the next team. So you got Arizona, and Arizona's not going to be afraid of Houston. But I tell you what, when you see University of Houston up in their jocks, this ain't going to be Pac-12 basketball.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you, but you're going to have some, it's not going to be very fun for you. And it's not going to be in a 7-minute stretch. For 40 minutes, you're going to catch, it's a very underrated 40 minutes of hell. We don't call it 40 minutes of hell like Nolan Richardson's Arkansas teams, but this is going to be 40 minutes of hell for Arizona. Can't wait to see it.
Nope. Hey, when we come back.
Is that the Friday game, right?
That is it's Thursday. Thursday game.
Oh, it's a Thursday
yep.
game.
Yeah. Late game. John Clay Wolf joining us. When we come back, though, the Texans actually got more for Deshaun than we thought. John Clay Wolf joining us right now on ESPN 97.5 and 9. We haven't talked to him in a while, so we got to get an update. What's been going on, John Clay Wolf?
There's a lot to update.
What is it? Tell us.
I don't mean it's too much. When's the next time somebody's taking a break? I'll sit in again. It's been a while.
Lance, when are you leaving?
Like a drunk uncle inviting himself.
I can leave whenever you need. At some point during the draft, I may have to have a day.
Okay. During the draft, Lance will probably have to have a day.
Yeah, John Clay Wolf hasn't been here for like 2 months.
I know, but he wants to sit in for you, and he can actually break down all the players in the draft for you. So he's unbelievable. Like that. Right, John Clay
Wolf? Lance has to take a menstrual day.
What? No, he works for the NFL Network. NFL Draft, okay?
I thought he was cramping.
No, he's not crazy. It's not that time of the month for Lance. No, that's not it. What? How's your show been doing on Saturdays? Fun?
Everything's good. We started in a lot more cities, San Diego and Miami and Phoenix, Cincy. Oh gosh, Salt Lake. Having a little trouble with Chicago. All the problems you professed that I would have in California have been trying to happen in Chicago.
Really? They're sensitive there, are they?
They're sensitive there. They want me to take DJ Pre-K off of our show. I don't know if you know who he is. But he's just a call screener that's been with us forever. But he's a white guy in a black, you know, identifies as black. But it's not a bit. It's real. And that's kind of a pot calling the kettle black. I mean, no pun, you know. But this is this guy's real. In an era of trans men winning women's swim races.
Yeah, what did you think about that?
I think that it's just as ridiculous as it sounds. It's as ridiculous as my guy. Here's the way I took it, Granada. I can't have a white black guy with me because they think that since I'm a smartass, then I'm making fun.
Right. But if he identifies, how can they judge? Because that's what he identifies as, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
quadruple standard.
Yeah, that's not even double standard. It's quadruple. You're right. Let that man identify as he wants. Okay. Well, you don't like that about the swimmer, though. So you're being judgmental.
Yeah, this kid is the next Vanilla Ice. He's an awesome rapper. He's been with us for a long time, And I'll send you one of his songs.
Yeah, one of his songs.
You can play it on your sports show. You can debut DJ Pre-K's rap on your sports shows. That's where it belongs.
Okay, we'll do it. All right, well, that's John Clay Wolf, and he wants to buy your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
So, originally, it was Deshaun Watson to Cleveland for three firsts, a third, and a fourth. And the Texans go with Deshaun Watson and a fifth. In 2024. Now, the official trade is the Texans get firsts this year, next, and in 24. They get a fourth this year. They get a third next year and a fourth in 24. Somewhere, somehow, an extra fourth rounder showed up for the Texans. Number 107 overall from Detroit. So they get the 13th and 107th this year, plus the first and third next year and a first and fourth. And then they give up a sixth rounder as opposed to the fifth rounder we thought. So that's the official trade now. Better. And still, I don't know what Cleveland is going to get. What is the value of Baker Mayfield right now? That's interesting. Because allegedly, yeah, Pam Kehoe brought that for you. So you can thank Pam Kehoe. We got our Cougar shirts to wear for the game on Thursday. What exactly is, because wouldn't it have been interesting if they sent Baker Mayfield over too and then the Texans tried to unload him?
Yeah, I think people would have wrongly assumed you could get a one for Baker. I still think you might be able to get a two for Baker, but you gotta give him a new deal. Like,
so
if you're trading for Baker Mayfield and it's a one-year rental,
why
you want to rent a quarterback for 2 months?
Well, how about if Baker now becomes desperate and they say, nobody's offering you a long-term contract, Baker. You know what? You're making 18 this year. That's it. That's all we're paying you.
You know what's crazy is Baker's actually better than a lot of quarterbacks that he – this is why you don't write letters. You don't do this stuff. You keep a little lower profile because people don't want to deal with – A, they don't know if you're good enough to give a long-term deal. So he's also hurt by the spiraling quarterback. So there's a reason that Dak Prescott, it took forever to get his money. There's a reason Lamar Jackson hadn't gotten his yet. Those two teams don't buy in fully. And you can't say that publicly or Team Lamar will come crush you. But there's a reason that the Ravens have not doled up yet, and they're a little bit concerned about whether or not – now, they're going to. They're going to pony up, and now it's become a nightmare. Because now they're going to realize, God, we should have got a deal done earlier. Because now with Deshaun's contract, it's
Well, guess what, though? He's won an MVP.
Lamar Jackson has no agent. He's going to be shooting for Deshaun Watson's money. He's going to say, I want $240 million guaranteed. The Ravens are in a bad place now because Deshaun Watson has now set a new – and what Lamar Jackson can say is, Deshaun Watson, you mean that guy smoked when I won the MVP?
Yeah.
You mean the guy didn't play last year? Deshaun Watson on paper should not be making more than Lamar Jackson. In what world?
No.
Deshaun has been more consistent.
Who has a better record as a starter? Mitchell Trubisky or Deshaun Watson?
Are you going percentages?
Well, who has a better record as a starter?
Because Deshaun's got more wins and he's won more division titles. So I'd say Deshaun. Deshaun's won three division titles.
Better win percentage is Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, well, then that obviously means nothing.
Well,
one guy won three divisions. Another guy's chased out of Chicago.
Atlanta Falcons.
You're literally – now, this is literally data dredging. Oh, he's winning percentage.
Right.
Like, Deshaun literally won three divisions, titles.
And then he was a fart in a skillet in the postseason.
Was he? Because he just got $230 million.
Did he?
Did your superhero Mitchell Trubisky get that?
Mitchell Trubisky is 29-21 as a starter. Deshaun, not so much.
How many double-digit seasons is... Because Deshaun's had three double-digit win seasons. How many has Mitchell had?
Just double-digit win seasons. Who cares about that?
Well, we're talking about all this winning.
He went to the postseason. Thank you.
I would assume that he's got a bunch of... This is a weird cape to ride. The Mitchell Trubisky
train?
Mitchell's mom is like, I don't know about this.
Who has more wins? Who has more wins as a starter?
Deshaun.
No, he doesn't.
How's that possible? How many does Mitchell
Mitchell Trubisky is 29-21. Deshaun is 28-25-0. He missed all last year, don't forget.
Yeah, and he missed most of 17. Hold on a second. He missed all of 21. He missed 11 games of 17, yeah. Right? So he played 18, 19, 20.
He missed 13 games. Well, he didn't. Well, yeah, he missed 13 games.
No, 13 games. He played.
He's
28-25-0. Yeah, Deshaun only played 3 years for the Texans. Yeah. He was here 5 years and played 3 years.
Well, he was here five, played three.
Well, he played
three and a third, basically.
That's really it.
Mitchell Trubisky has more wins than Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
All right.
Dell's like two division titles. It should have been three. Bill O'Brien screwed him on that one.
No, two division titles. And then got waylaid in the postseason. And played like crap
against the
Bills.
I'm sorry.
And then
got waylaid by the championship play he made?
Danny said.
By the way, that.
I knew my greatness had to come out and I had to make a play.
By the way, Quincy's once said, yeah, Deshaun was really. He almost got himself killed because that blitzer was his responsibility and he just didn't read defense as well. Whatever. He's gone. I'm glad. Get us our picks. And
so I would rather have Mitchell Trubisky.
Let's move on.
If you want to know the truth.
No, stop saying it. Stop doing this or that with Mitchell Trubisky and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
This is why you can't get a blue check mark.
I don't want a blue check mark.
No,
I've never applied for a blue check mark. I don't give a rat's ass about a blue check mark.
Paul Gallant's trying to get you a blue check mark.
No.
And this is why no one's ever going to give
you
a blue check mark.
Do I have to do anything? Then I don't want a blue check mark.
You say crazy stuff about Mitchell Trubisky, and we can't give you your check mark.
No.
How are you going to keep people in line and show how virtuous you are if you don't have a check mark on Twitter?
What is Baker Mayfield worth? What will he get?
If he and his agent are willing to do a reasonable deal, I think you can get a second for Baker, and then you do a 3-year deal at about 25 per. $75 million for 3 years, and it's a
proven 3 years. I'm just taking you on it now. I'm taking you in your last year. That's it.
You know who?
I'll give you a third rounder.
You know where I think he could have been pretty good was the Saints with Pete Carmichael. Pete Carmichael was the offense coordinator for years and years under Sean Payton, who did all the play calling for New Orleans. But I think that Pete Carmichael would have done a nice job with Baker Mayfield. I think the way Baker plays fits the way the Saints offense has run. And once again, I assume Pete Carmichael is going to run it similar to what Sean Payton is running. But I think that offense actually fits Baker. It's more spread out. It's more of an opportunity to make quick throws. It fits Baker Mayfield more than it fits Jameis Winston. I think Jameis has shown us who he is. He's not an NFL, winning starting quarterback. That's not who he's going to be. Baker Mayfield's still got a chance, I think, but that offense actually would have been pretty good for him. Like, that's why Matt Corral, I feel like, would be a good fit in the Saints offense. By getting a deal done with Jameis, they have eliminated Baker. I don't know that they've eliminated quarterback, though. I could still see the Saints maybe looking quarterback in the second round.
I could certainly see them taking Matt Corral.
Yeah, I could still see that. What I've heard, they're not in love with Matt.
Well,
at least
whomever.
Sean Payton wasn't. But, yeah, I could see and I think Desmond Ridder is going to be a sneaky quarterback option. I was watching some Cincinnati tape just the other day. I've already written up Desmond Ridder a long time ago. I was watching a defensive player on another team, and I'm watching Desmond Ridder make throws, and I'm like, I started having the same feeling I had when I went back and watched some old Justin Herbert stuff for this wide receiver, Johnny Johnson, that I wrote up from Oregon. And I went all the way back to – When Justin Herbert was there, I went back to 2019, and I'm like, man, it's all right there on tape. Now, with hindsight, you say, God, look at this. Like, you can see it with Justin Herbert. Look at the way he delivers the ball. You can see that Justin was going to be a player. And then I went back, and I saw Desmond Ridder, and I see the, Ridder has some things to work on, but he, like you can kind of see, I think Desmond Ritter is going to be the sneaky. He may end up being better than Malik Willis and Matt Corral, or Kenny Pickett and Matt Corral, or Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett. I think Desmond Ritter, it wouldn't shock me. I've got him as the fourth quarterback. It wouldn't shock me if he ends up being the second best quarterback in this draft.
Mm.
He's solid. You've seen him. Four-year starter, yep. Four-year winner. He's got a winning profile. The kid works his ass off in the offseason. I've had him on a podcast where we interviewed him. He is a voracious worker. He's got the mindset and mentality. My comp on him was Alex Smith, and it's for more than just his athletic stuff and body type. It's because that's how he approaches the game. And I think that kind of, you know, he's going to be a game manager, but you can win with game managers. And I just have a funny feeling that Desmond Ritter is going to end up being a pretty good quarterback.
Here's something, though. Cincinnati was basically the Alabama of the group of five. How many draftable guys does Cincinnati have? Plus, they're right now, they're losing how many, 18 to Pierce, 20 starters?
Pierce, Ford, Ritter. They got a defensive lineman. They got Darian Beavers, a linebacker. They got Sauce Gardner, Brian Cook, Kobe Bryant.
This is out of a group of five.
I'm up to eight.
You got their running back?
Yeah, I said Jerome Ford. Oh, their tight end went back to school, or their tight end would have been drafted. No offensive lineman that I can remember. Oh, and Myjai Sanders. So we're at nine. We're at nine potential.
In a group of five school.
They will have eight guys drafted. They'll have seven at least. I don't know about Darian Beavers, but they could have as many as nine.
In a group of five school.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's like they have a lot more talent than everybody else. And he won, don't get me wrong, but he had better guys. He had a lot of better guys. And, you know, we'll see, you know, I don't know whether or not. A lot of those guys
were on defense, though, that I just gave you. But, yeah, I mean, he had some guys, but it helps to have guys next to you. It helps.
Yep.
But he never seemed overmatched. Like, even against Alabama, I never got the sense that it was too big for Desmond Ritter. But I like Matt Corral a lot, too. I think Matt Corral's got a chance to be a good quarterback. But I don't know. I just don't know if I were the Houston Texans. Like, now I'm starting to get where God, it'd be kind of interesting to see Pickett or Willis or Ritter or Corral with the Texans. But you know what? Long term, the fact that you get to keep your second-rounders and build around a quarterback, and even if you don't think that quarterback's the guy after next year, you have two first-round picks next year. So you've got ammunition to move up and get a different quarterback if you want to at the end of the year. And this year, if you hit on your two picks, or even if you're able to move back from 13 and move back and add more picks, all you're doing is setting yourself up to rebuild your team faster, as long as you draft smart.
Yep. But, well, as long as you draft smart. That's the as long as. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here to hang out with us, anything that we have talked about, you're more than welcome to chime in on. Right now, though, Lance, you got to tell us about Gulf Coast and Craig DeSurf.
Gulf Coast and Craig DeSurf. Craig DeSurf is your key to getting a great car deal every time out. But it's more than just a deal. Yeah, they can get you great trade-in value. They can get you the best prices. They're never going to go over MSRP, no matter how limited supply is and how high demand is. It's just that's a fundamental thing for Craig DeSurf is he never wants to screw over customers. He's not doing that for additional profit. He said, we're profitable. We don't need to do that stuff. And the fact that he's going to take care of you and your family members and your neighbors and coworkers when you mention it, that's a big deal. It's a big deal to me. That's why I speak for him, and I've spoken for him across two different locations, two different car dealerships. It's because I believe in Craig DeSurf. You can get GM vehicles and Chevy vehicles and Buick vehicles at other places, but you can't get the service, you can't get the value, you can't get the people over at Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. Make sure that you go to LanceZCars.com. That's LanceZCars.com, and look for your new Chevy, Buick, or GMC today.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Maury's been canceled after 30 years on the air.
But not canceled.
Yeah, and they're not...
Well, the original version of canceled.
Well,
like
they're not
going to
film any more shows.
Yeah, but Maury didn't get canceled by Twitter.
Not by Twitter. It's different.
I don't think he did.
The show was canceled.
Oh, okay.
The show was canceled.
Okay.
Do not tell Maury what your biggest fear is. Like if it's apples or whipped cream or tinfoil, they bring it out and then these people run. Like if you tell them what your biggest fear is, they will... They're screaming people. And then and a lot of guys, their biggest fear is being on Maury Povich to find out if they're the dad.
Yeah.
That's the biggest fear.
At some point, his producers reached out, hey, we'd like for you to come out. Would anyone say yes?
For the money.
Why would anyone say yes?
For the money.
How much money do you really get paid?
They pay those people.
Not much. You get a hotel. You get a sweet hotel, probably.
Famous. Are you ever? There's a lot of people.
Get famous like that.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend, Sandy, is a man. You have two children you didn't know about. This child is not yours. There's nothing good that's ever come from, I'm a producer for Maury Povich's show. We'd love for you to come out sometime in September. No. Just tell me what it is now. What do I need to... What's about to ruin my life? Just tell me from here. Yeah. Not coming.
No. Worse yet.
Did Wendy ever do that with Deborah Duncan?
Worse yet, Chris Hansen calls you and says, Hey,
where are you thinking about going later next week?
This is Chris Hansen. I was thinking about coming over. No, I'm leaving the country. 9 years ago today, the Texans signed.
9 years ago. So right now, so it'd be 2013. Hold on a second. Oh, Arian Foster to a new deal?
Nope.
2013.
Today. 9 years ago today.
9 years ago today. Oh, God. Coach Ed Reed.
Ed Reed.
Coach Ed Reed.
Coach Ed Reed. Yep. Yep. So that was one of the great signings in Texas.
I'm going to teach y'all how to be champions. This bum-ass team. Like literally Ed Reed 3 days later. This old bum-ass team. I'm done with this team. I must have Coach Ed Reed.
Is there a worse signing in Texans history?
I mean, people say Amon Green if you're a real one. The real
Tony
ones
Vaselli.
Will say Amon Green. Yeah, I always. You never even signed him. You drafted him. It was all. The league told you you could draft him. He was going to be okay. Then he wasn't. You couldn't do anything medical. You couldn't have any medical checkups on him. The league took Willie Rofe out of contention, though.
And then he played eight more years.
Yeah, like, hey, Willie Rofe
medically
cleared. Yeah, that was a bunch of bull.
Tony Boselli didn't play a game, and Willie Rofe played at least five more years.
The worst signing, Ed Reed was not, it didn't kill you. You know, the worst signing is Brock Osweiler in Texans history. It ended up costing a second.
Yeah, at least Ed Reed was $5 million, and you just let him go.
Yeah, it ended up costing you a second, and Ed Reed was bad because... Ed Reed also wouldn't let you check up on certain elements. He didn't tell you he had a torn labrum in his hip that he got against the New England Patriots in the playoffs. He didn't disclose that, so they couldn't check up on it with MRI. Can't check up on things that are not disclosed injuries in the NFL for free agents. People hated the Amon Green deal. It was a bad deal for the Texans also, but the worst one is Brock Osweiler. Brock was terrible. He was... Yeah, people out there like, we finally got a real quarterback. Oh, my God. You literally are going to want Matt Schaub back. So
Deshaun Watson's second deal is the worst signing in Texans history. Although you got all kinds of picks.
Not free agent. You said the worst signing or free agent?
Worst signing.
Yeah, worst signing is Deshaun Watson. Although somebody told me you paid $27 million. I guess this is a way of looking at it. You paid $27 million signing bonus for six draft picks.
Yeah. That is a way to
pay. I mean, it'll make you feel better that way, at least. You paid $7 million for the first rounders.
What would you have paid for three first rounders, two fourths, and a third? I mean, $27 million seems like it's a good...
Well, you have to pay those salaries, too.
I know, but that seems... If you could buy those draft picks, $27 million wouldn't be... it's not out of the question.
I guess that's a way to make you feel better about it. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. If it makes you feel better about it, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. It made me feel better when I looked at it like that and just thought, yeah, it's not my money either, but it's just, it's the fact that someone is getting away with something.
Yeah.
That really, I think, bothers me the most. Some guy told me yesterday, stop pocket watching. It's not, here's what you don't understand. These moves have an impact on future viability of teams and leagues. Like, this is the Deshaun Watson deal was a very, very bad deal for football in the future. We're starting to see just glimpses of it. What's happening with Baker Mayfield? It's becoming harder to actually trade a quarterback. You know why? It's not because you can't, like, somebody would take Baker Mayfield as their quarterback, but the fact that you have to give them a quarterback deal that is now going to be upwards of $30 million plus, that's just not, you just can't do it. It's what the NBA, and the real concern is that the NFL is going to turn into the NBA, and that's not, those two models should be very, very different because they're built around one and two players being really good on an NBA team, and you can get a lot better quickly. You give them the most money and everyone else gets screwed. Like, it's the anti-socialism. Any socialists who are basketball fans are fake socialists in because it's the exact opposite. It is ultra-capitalism.
Yeah.
And so if you're a basketball fan, you're like, I'm a socialist and I'm a huge NBA stan. Look at me, hashtag NBA Twitter. Like, do you do realize that two players are going to get all the money on your team, basically, and everyone else is going to be just like, you get the rest of it, I guess. And if we add a third, you guys are all screwed because we're just going with rookies and one-year deals for guys.
Yeah, guys, washed up guys. That's it.
Yeah, but that's why the NFL is a team game that requires 53-man roster. It's not – the starting lineup is 22 dudes. Like, you got to have 22 dudes, and I'm not counting the punter and the kicker and the holder and the snapper. So you go through all that stuff, and you start in the special teams players who play. This isn't like the NBA. Like, you got to have – you can't have one quarterback taking up $45 million a year like Deshaun Watson. That's insane.
All right, when we come back –
the percentage of cap is the concern.
The quarterback shift in the NFL has really actually has changed the landscape, and it's changed the landscape in the AFC South. We'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let's talk about some tequila.
Maestro de Bell, the tequila of choice for me and for a growing number of listeners as well. I'm getting the pictures from you guys. More and more of you are trying Maestro de Bell. It's really cool. Keep sending those pictures when you buy them. I love it. I send it over to Mallory from Maestro de Bell. She loves it. We need to get them out to a listener event at some point. But Maestro de Bell has so many different types of tequilas. You may be a Reposado fan. There's a particular way they make the Reposado. How about Añejo? The smooth, delicious, creamy profile of the Añejo. Maybe you're just someone who loves silver. You like the good old school tequila that has a very distinctive flavor and is great to be used in tequilas or for sipping. What, no matter what your particular interest in tequila, whether it's for margaritas or for cocktails or for sipping, they've got a variety that's made for you. A ton of different flavor profiles that are going to, and one of those are going to hit your palate, I promise you. And if you're looking for a good top shelf tequila, they've got top shelf tequilas for you as well. So all you have to do is make the decision to go in and try it for the first time for yourself if you haven't. If you're a tequila aficionado and you've never tried it, you are in for a treat. Maestro de Bell, wherever fine liquors are sold, Maestro de Bell.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, man, look at the divisions now. There was a discussion this morning on the show before ours with Key. And let me ask you this. Who's got an easier road right now to the postseason? Brady in Tampa. Look at the quarterbacks in the division now. Jameis, Mitchell Trubisky, and we think Sam Darnold, maybe, in Carolina, and Tom Brady. I mean, that's a it's just that's a murder. He's gonna destroy all those teams.
Yeah, I don't. It's not even going to be competitive.
No,
it's not even going to be.
Okay, how about the NFC North? You've got Aaron Rodgers, Cousins, Fields, and Goff.
It's all right. I mean, you got some good quarterbacks.
Who's got an easier path?
What do you mean, who's got an easier path?
To the postseason, Rodgers or Brady?
Oh, I'd say Brady. Brady has the easiest path. Rodgers lost Davante Adams.
New Orleans is still talented.
But Rodgers lost Davante Adams. That's a big loss.
That's a huge loss.
And go look at the numbers for Davante Adams. The last two MVP years, go look at Davante Adams.
Yeah.
Go look when Davante Adams was out most of the year. That's when they drafted Jordan Love because it wasn't as good. So, yeah, I mean, Tom Brady literally can just turn and hand off every play, every game. He could throw 36 passes this year and smash that division.
That's true.
That division sucks. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, and who's the other one?
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold?
I don't think you can make fart noises on the air, can you?
It's in a skillet.
No, it's not a fart in a skillet.
Sam Darnold, the third pick of the draft. Marcus Mariota, the second pick of the draft. Jameis,
first pick.
How about first and second pick of the 2015 draft?
Tom Brady, the sixth. And Tom Brady the sixth rounder.
Sixth rounder, just like, man, you guys, there you go. That's for you guys. Just beat you 21 without even trying. Those quarterbacks suck and those teams suck.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. Saints are good, except that they have turnover Jameis. You got Marcus Mariota, who got
hurt. What did I say? Trubisky signed with,
it's Marcus Mariota.
Mariota. I kept saying Trubisky.
I knew who you meant, Marcus Mariota.
Mariota, Trubisky, it's the same thing.
Yeah, it kind of is the same thing. I mean, Marcus Mariota, people are like, hey, Marcus kind of, this is what I heard, Marcus was kind of, he kind of came around in Oakland before he got hurt and missed the whole year, but he kind of showed some things a couple of, kind of.
Preseason games. Like,
remember when John Gruden brought him in and they had package plays for him? He kind of did some stuff, actually. Jameis was actually not bad in those five games that he played where two of them were good, kind of. So remember that first game where he threw for 140 and five touchdowns? I'm like, y'all can keep buying into Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston and Sam Darnold. No one's buying into Sam. But if you guys want to talk yourself into it, I'll just fire this easy W at Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. I do think Minnesota could give. I think Minnesota could be a problem for Green Bay this year. I really do. Minnesota is going to be healthy. They're going to have their defense back. They're going to have a draft where they've had a couple of moves free agency. Didn't they get a corner? Minnesota got a good cornerback. Let me dig it up because Minnesota got a good cornerback. Remember we were talking about this. And so I think Minnesota is going to be a problem because no Davante Adams is a little bit of a problem. Let's see, they grabbed Harrison Phillips, big deal. Jordan Hicks, okay, that's all right. They re-signed the extensions, Kirk Cousins, and maybe they didn't grab as many guys as I thought.
Mari Henderson.
No, that ain't it. No. I thought they grabbed a
Rashad Breeland.
He's okay. I thought they grabbed a free agent signing. I guess not.
I don't remember.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, let's look at the AFC North now. Deshaun, Trubisky. I've got him in two different teams, but it's really Trubisky in Pittsburgh. Lamar and Joe Burrow. That division got a lot. Trubisky's obviously the fourth.
Man, it's a nightmare. That division is a nightmare. And Pittsburgh could get in the quarterback market in the draft, too. There's no guarantee.
I wouldn't be shocked at all if Pittsburgh drafted a quarterback.
Trubisky's money is not even starting money. No. He's right now, frankly, he's middling backup money is what they're
paying. Yeah. The 2 years, 18.
Yeah. If you want to look at Jameis, you look at what's guaranteed? Jameis, Trubisky, and Mariota are in the same class. That should not keep you from, if the right quarterback's there and you're Pittsburgh and you like the right quarterback, I've heard they like Malik. He's not going to be there at 20. So I don't think they'll get a quarterback. But, I mean, to me, Mitchell Trubisky shouldn't. Remember when Dan Orlovsky, we were looking at him and I was like, wow, He just got a 3-year, $9 million deal, $3 million a year to be a backup.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that long ago. It was a decade ago.
And now it's seven, eight, nine.
And now it's, really it's $8 to $11 million a year for a backup.
Yeah.
There's really no reason to do anything but be a backup quarterback the rest of your life.
That's all. That's the best thing. That's the best job ever.
Yeah, it's better than being, people talk about left-hand pitcher. Yeah, left-hand pitcher's good, but Matt Schaub just
But you actually have to pitch, though.
That's what I'm saying. You got to take road trips. You got to pitch. People could hate you. No one's going to hate a backup quarterback.
No.
What are you doing? You're
Unless
fine.
You have to come in.
Yeah, that's the worst. But if you are a backup quarterback.
Look what happened to Mason Rudolph
an
doing
Iron
that.
Man.
Yeah. He was great up until
he was great.
Until
then
he
was. Then he got hit in the head and called a racist.
Right.
Like, I didn't use the N word. He goes, yeah, I think you did. And everybody for the Cleveland Browns said, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear anything either, Miles. And Miles just like, oh well. I guess I can just throw that out there. No consequences.
Yeah.
Jussie
Garrett.
Yeah. Jussie got in trouble.
Not really. He got let go.
No, he didn't. He's in jail. What are you talking about? He just got sentenced. He's in jail now.
They let him go.
Like 9 months. Six or 9 months, something like that.
Yeah, he got sentenced. You better re-up. Better Google it. He's actually in a ward to protect himself or whatever right now. Yeah, no, he got sentenced. They didn't let him. They tried to let him go, and then
Jussie Smollett walks out of jail after appeal court orders release. Served less than a week of a 150-day sentence.
Wait, what date is that?
March 16th.
Wait, this just happened?
Yes.
I better get up on my Jussie Smollett news.
Jussie Smollett was
released,
pal.
I've been watching Brock Hoffman from Virginia Tech yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good to be Jussie Smollett, I guess.
Miles Smollett.
You get 150 days. No, you don't.
No, you don't? No.
Wait, we're going to let him walk. No, you're not. We're bringing him in. Now you're going to jail for 150 days. No, you're not. I don't know what's going on in Chicago.
Yeah.
I don't really care.
No. Hey, Jussie, get out. No, it's okay.
So our neighbor, Taylor's
it's
listening.
It's okay, Jussie.
I've got two Saints fans, Tori Andrews and Taylor from across the street. I'm not going to give out their last names because I'm not going to have permission to give out last names. Tori Andrews, I don't care about.
You just gave out Tori Andrews.
Well, but he played basketball at Rice.
Unless that's his middle name.
No, Tori played basketball at Rice.
Yeah, right.
He's a public figure.
Oh, okay.
A 14-year-old kid is not a public figure.
No,
a 15-year-old kid. They're both Saints fans, and they're both like, hey, well, easy on Jameis. Like,
Jameis blows.
Come on now. No one's ever done a 30-for-30. It's the first time in history. Do you want me to get out Jameis's stats for his entire career? It's mind-numbing. Do you know my comp on Jameis Winston? I was the original, because my comp I felt was actually pretty good. My comp was Eli Manning. And one of the reasons is because of Eli's interception.
Eli's white, you had to do that?
Well, later, I would only find out later that they would request that I maybe try to not, have white receivers comped with white receivers. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
He looks like
I don't know what to tell you. If I get my hands on a Cole Beasley,
right? He looks like Amendola. What am I going
to
do?
What do you want me to do? I mean, I'm looking at Danny Amendola right here. Lance, you got to quit comparing every white wide receiver to Wes Welker. Mm. Hey, that's who they remind me of.
Sorry.
That's Adele was so good at trying to help me find good black receiver comps, but I kept going back to the same one.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy from Hawaii. I can't remember his name. But anyway, yeah, I comped him to Eli Manning because Eli Manning always has a ton of interceptions. And Jameis was if you throw a bunch of interceptions in college, you will continue to throw interceptions in pros. It's a lock because the pro game is harder, it's faster, and the coverage is trickier. And sure enough, Jameis has been incredible in the interception total. Like, it's been bananas. But Eli Manning never stopped throwing interceptions either. He's thrown a bunch of them. Baker Mayfield's interception total is a little bit high. It's a little higher than you probably think. So we get spoiled. This is the big difference between when you look at Russell Wilson and Deshaun's gotten better at it. But Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, Brady and those guys, you start seeing – you get desensitized to 36-4. 38-7.
Right.
That's a really, really impressive thing. I mean, that's impressive. Yeah. To go 3-1 interception, touchdown interception to me is really good. I mean, 3-1 is what you shoot for.
there's a lot of quarterbacks, they're happy if they get to almost 2-1 with interception. You know, like, all right.
That's not bad.
Like,
if Jameis was 2-1?
If Jameis could go 26-13, that is a monster win. I would tell, you know what, honestly, not even joking around, I'd take 26-13 all day long with Jameis.
Yeah.
I'd keep re-signing him. Because you'd have a chance,
a chance to what?
If he's not turning a ball over, can't win turning a ball over that much.
Well, you're not going to win with 26-13 either. What are you going to win?
No, probably not.
No. It's 8:57. Hey, JC, you're on the other side. 713-780-3776. And as a matter of fact, some comps. I got some comps here that I'd like you to check out.
This is terrible.
And see who your comps are.
I rag on these people?
No, you can't rag on them. What are you talking about? But maybe, yeah, you can rag on them. Okay, you can do what you want. I mean, that's fine. Right now, though, I'm not going to – here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do nothing but praise my peeps over at Chastang Ford. And this happens, and it starts at the top with all the businesses. There's a reason that some businesses don't work, and there's a reason that some businesses are great. And it starts at the top, and it starts with ownership, and it starts with philosophy, and it starts with integrity, and it starts with actually doing what you say you're going to do. And that's what Chastang Ford does. And one thing that they say that they're never going to do is add on to your vehicle. They're never going to bring you in and say, oh, no, you need this bed liner. Oh, no, you need this sunroof. Oh, no, you need these tires. No. They're not going to do any of that. What they're going to do is say, what is it? How much can you afford? What are your payments? What do they have to be at? And let's find the car perfect for you. And you customize it exactly as you want it. You don't want that sunroof? Don't take that sunroof. Right now is the best time to order a car because you get to customize it perfectly for you. And they still have no interest for 60 months. They've got nothing down, and they got no payments for 90 days. Who's doing that? Chastang Ford is. You're going to find them at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. If you're looking for the best deal in the city of Houston on that Ford car, truck, or pre-owned vehicle, all you got to do is go to ChastangFord.com. You can do it all online. Or, again, stop by the showroom. They love it. 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's Chastang Ford.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.